Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew. So join us as we pick up in chapter 8, verse 1, and here's Pastor Eric.
We'll pick up chapter 8 and go through verse 13 as we look at two stories. We're going to look at the cleansing of a leper, a leprous man who comes to Jesus and finds healing. And then we'll look at the healing of a centurion's servant. Two miracles here performed by the Lord, as Jesus shows acts of just compassion, the love of God, the compassion of God, and also his authority, his ability to heal. So we read in chapter 8, verse 1, that when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus put out his hand, and he touched him, and he said, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we see here that when Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mount, that multitudes had gathered around him by the time he had finished his teaching. And as Jesus is now moving off the mountain, there are multitudes thronging Jesus. They're jostling together. You've got, young people. You've got middle-aged. You've got elderly. You've got kids. You've got people from all walks of life, and they're all jostling against one another to follow Jesus and to see what he might do and what else he might say. In the midst of that, notice verse 2 says, "And behold, a leper." And the idea with "behold" is this man then began to emerge from the crowd, this leper. Now, there was a very serious thing to have a leper among the crowd. You see, lepers, because of their skin disease, were separated from the people. Lepers really did not live and were not allowed really as a part of the society. They usually lived alone, or they lived in groups with other lepers. They were not allowed to come near the people for fear that they would pass on their leprosy. And it was a very fearful thing to have leprosy. I can't remember which movie it was. It's been a long time since I saw this movie, but there was some guy, and he was like stranded somewhere in a jungle or on an island, and he needed some help, and he happened upon a leper colony. And so as he was asking for help, like the chief leper guy, he was smoking a cigar. And so this guy was saying, "Can you guys help me or whatever?" And so the chief leper guy, he's smoking his cigar, and then he hands him his cigar. Like, will you trust me? And so the guy, will never forget the scene, where the guy then takes a hit off the leper's cigar, trusting that he's not going to contract the leprosy. Leprosy was a great mystery at this time, and so lepers were set apart for fear that their leprosy would be contagious to the other people. So here Jesus is, here the multitude is, and then all of a sudden, behold, a leper. And so you could imagine the parting of the crowd as this leper was making his way towards Jesus. Everyone would have heard him. Why? Because lepers were required, when they were in a public place, if they were getting near people, lepers were required to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," describing their defilement before the people. And so as this leper approached the edge of the crowd, he would begin to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." And as the people turned around and saw him, the crowd would have split, and there would have been this great parting as this leper made his way all the way to Jesus. How humiliating for this man. as everyone backed away. And the people needed to. It was a safety issue. But how humiliating for this man as he approached Jesus Christ. And he came to Jesus and he said to him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The confession of his faith is this: "You can make me clean. I've come to you. This is a hard thing for me. This is embarrassing. This is humiliating. But I believe, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean." His statement of faith was this: "You can make me clean." His statement of question was, "If you are willing. Would you be willing to cleanse me? Would you be willing not to despise me? Would you be willing to care for me? Would you be willing to look upon me and be moved with compassion and be willing to do something for me? If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus said, "I am willing. Be clean." And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him. There wasn't another person that had ever touched this man as a leper, for fear that they might contract his disease. But Jesus reached out his hand, and as Jesus touched that leper was completely cleansed of his leprosy. What an experience that must have been for that man. And what a wonder that must have been among the crowd as the man's leprosy was healed. Now, Jesus said to him, verse 4, "See that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." So it's interesting. Jesus says, listen, don't tell anybody about this. Don't go from here and start proclaiming how I've healed you. I want you to do something first. I want you to go straight to the priest. And according to Leviticus chapter 14, I want you to offer the offering that is prescribed in the law for the cleansing of a leper. Jesus said that it might be a testimony to them. Jesus is going to use this man to minister to the priests, as this man is going to offer the offering that goes along with the cleansing of the leper, that the priests are going to go, "Now, what happened to you? Now, who did this?" Maybe this man was even known among the temple precincts. And so Jesus is going to use this man as a testimony. That's why I believe he says, "Tell no one, but go straight." He doesn't want this man to get caught up in this big old media hype, you know, and so he's on Geraldo and, you know, is on Oprah and all these different shows before he can get to the priest and offer the offering and bear witness there. This story is wonderful of Jesus' compassion and his authority and power. And, you know, leprosy in the Bible is often used as a symbol or to be likened unto sin because of the power that sin has. Because sin defiles us. Because sin makes us unclean. Because sin truly, it separates us and it isolates us. And man, you know how it is. The more you sin, the more alone you really are. Because you're a sinner. And it separates us from God. The most terrible thing of all is that it separates us from the Lord. But you know what? Jesus is willing to cleanse us from all our sin. Maybe there's someone who would say, "Gosh, you don't know what I've done. And Eric, you don't know the offense that I've been in, the trouble that I've caused." But you know what? If you would ask Jesus today, "Jesus, if you are willing, you could make me clean." You know what Jesus' reply would be to you? "I am willing. I am willing." You know, Jesus already paid the price for sin on the cross. Jesus already knows what your sin is, and he already died for it. He already did. He already bore the shame. He already bore the humility. He already bore the penalty of your sin. He's already done it. He's already done it. There's only one thing left, and that is to extend the forgiveness and the cleansing of that to you. Listen, Jesus is willing. Are you willing? Are you willing, like this leper, to bear even the humiliation? You're like, "Well, I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't know what my friends are going to say. Well, I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't know what my wife's going to say." Well, if I raise my hand and say, I want prayer for forgiveness of sins, what if somebody sees me? So you're going to tell me that this leper in the Bible has more courage than you? Don't let that be the case. Listen, Jesus loves you and he is happy to forgive. He is willing to cleanse from all sin, even as he cleansed this leper. Now in verses 5 through 13, another circumstance happens upon Jesus that Matthew records. So we shift gears to a different story here, beginning in verse 5. It says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, a centurion is an officer in the Roman army. A centurion being an officer in the Roman army, he was over 100 men. And so this is a soldier who is in authority over 100 men. And it's interesting, as the Bible brings centurions before us, the centurions are always men of character. They're not always believers, but they're always men of character and moral conduct. And so the Roman army would search these men out and give them authority. And here a centurion in the area of Capernaum, in the area of Galilee, the region of Galilee and the city of Capernaum, the centurion came to him, and it says that he was pleading with him that the Lord would heal his servant who was sick. That word plead there means to call alongside. So this centurion went to Jesus and said, look, I'm having a problem. Will you come alongside of me and help me in this situation? Jesus says, I will come. You know what? Anytime we call the Lord near, he comes. He is willing. He is willing to forgive. He is willing to come and help. The centurion said to Jesus, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Another gospel says that he was near death. I got to hand it to the centurion. The centurion had basically a slave, but he cared about him. He made effort for this man's well-being. And he's come and he's pleading with Jesus. This is a heartfelt request of Jesus, will you come and will you help my servant? You know, other men might have said, well, if it doesn't go too well with this servant, I'll get myself another one. How many employers behave themselves that way? How many Christian employers are standing in the gap on behalf of even their employees? They're like, well, I'm not a pastor. Yeah, but you have a company. These people work for you. Do you care about them? The centurion cared for the people who were under his command, even in his own home. And so he went to Jesus and he sought the Lord and he called Jesus near, and Jesus said, I will come. I will come and I will heal your servant. Now the centurion answered verse 8 and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Now why did he say that? Well, you remember in this culture, the Jews had a big phobia about going into the homes of Gentiles. So you remember the story about Peter going into Cornelius' house and what a big deal it was. You know, God had to give Peter like this revelation and these signs just for Peter to even be willing to go into Cornelius' house. But here, the centurion, he's aware of Jewish culture. He lives in a Jewish town there in Capernaum. And so he is aware of the cultural implications of Jesus coming into a Gentile home. So when Jesus says, I'm willing, I'll come over, I'll heal your servant, the man immediately goes, you know what? I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But he says this, Jesus, only speak a word and my servant will be healed. He says, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, No, not even in Israel. You know, this centurion, he's got something he wants to see happen. It's a big deal to him. He makes an effort to get this message to Jesus. There's a lot of people around Jesus. It ain't easy to get close to Jesus. But he makes sure that it gets done. And when Jesus says, yeah, you got it, I'll do it. The man, not wanting to put Jesus in an awkward situation, says, I'll tell you what. If you just say the word, I believe that it will happen. The man says, listen, I understand authority. I have authority. And when I dispatch my authority, what I say gets done. And the man's like, I believe the same thing about you, Jesus. If you just speak the word, I believe that my servant will be healed. Now, this is no, you know, insignificant statement. I mean, what this man needs, he really needs. But he believes that in just the word of Jesus, it will happen. That took Jesus back. It says that Jesus marveled. And then he said this. He said, assuredly, I say to you, like of a truth, or you guys need to know this and don't even doubt what I'm going to say. Assuredly, I say to you, verily, verily. He says, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What's the significance of that? This man was a Gentile. This man was a Gentile. He was a worldly non-believer guy. He wasn't like the Jews who were religious and had religious culture and synagogue and thought about the Lord. This guy was a worldly guy. And yet he trusted that in a word, Jesus could perform this miracle. He says, man, I have not even found such great faith, even among the Jews, the religious people. And then he makes some application. Jesus, again, in his mind's eye, knowing about Judgment Day and eternity, says this in verse 11. He says, I say to you, many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the idea is this. All the Jews thought because they were Jews, they were going to heaven. It was an automatic deal. They're sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hey, we have people that believe the same thing in our culture today. They say, well, I was born in the church. You know, my parents were raised in church and we're faithful. On Easter, we go, and on Christmas, we're there, no matter what. So we're going to heaven. We're Americans. We're going to heaven. People think that. And as you engage in street witnessing, you will find those thoughts. They'll say, well, I'm a good person, and they'll start listing sins that they think are terrible. I've never done this. But Jesus here is saying, you know what? This Gentile who has been raised out in the world, he listens to secular music. I'm not saying this guy's a terribly sinful guy, because we don't know what his moral character was like, but he's just a normal guy in the world. He's just an everyday person. Jesus says, this guy's got saving faith that I have not even found in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west, and they will sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. Who are those people that are coming from the east and the west? He's talking about you and me. He's talking about you and me. Gentiles, worldly people, people that were just normal everyday people. But we found the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put our faith in him. And we're entering into the promises of God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But the sons of the kingdom, verse 12, he says, will be cast out. No, Lord, could such a thing be? Could those who are named by the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob actually not make it in? Jesus says, oh yeah, oh yeah. Unless you believe that I am he, Jesus said, you will die in your sins. The Bible says that Jesus, he came unto his own. He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about Israel. That he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The sons of the kingdom, Jesus said, I know it's coming. I know what's going to happen. The sons of the kingdom will be cast out. Notice he describes hell here as outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The description of hell given for us. Outer darkness. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't want to go there. Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. The centurion's judgment of Jesus' authority and power was correct. And when the centurion said, "Just say the word," his servant was healed. It's radical. "Lord, just say the word." His servant was healed the same hour. You know, the same thing is true for us. We say, "Lord, just say the word. I confess I've sinned against you, but Lord, I believe in you. And I want to trust you. Would you be willing to forgive me?" Jesus would say, "I'm willing." And he'll say, "Be cleansed." And the sin that has clung to your life, Jesus will wash it all away. He'll take every bit of it away. Just like the leper, his skin just covered with those sores and that leprosy, when Jesus touched him and said, "I am willing, be cleansed," his skin was made brand new. You know what? Maybe you've been living in the world and, man, your sins are haunting you. And you're like, "I so wish I could go back and start over. I so wish I could somehow get this sin just removed from my life. I hate it. It follows me around. It scares me. It haunts me. I hate it." Listen, Jesus is willing. Jesus is willing. If you will come to him, if you will humble yourself, even if it seems humiliating because of the people around you, if you will come to him, Jesus will heal you and forgive you, and he will restore your life, and he will make you new, a brand new person. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he has become a new creation. If you're here today and you want a fresh start, we're going to pray for you right now. Father, we thank you that your desire, Lord, is to forgive and your desire is to restore. We thank you, Father, that your desire is to wash and not to judge. Father, we understand that there is a judgment day coming, but you would have us to escape these things and to stand before you as people who are forgiven. The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness, it's not by doing good that we can be saved, but it's through faith in Jesus Christ. And with every head bowed and all eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you're here today and you want the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, then I want to invite you to pray this prayer and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life. Say, "Dear Jesus, I believe in you. And today I choose to follow you. And God, I admit I've sinned against you. But I ask that you would forgive me. Even me, God. Forgive my sin. Wash me, God. Take my sins away. And I ask that you would come into my heart and help me to know you and help me to follow you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen."
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, and while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Have you ever wondered where the Bible came from? Well, if so, Pastor Eric Tribble has just released a new ebook entitled How We Got Our Bible. In this book, Pastor Eric covers topics such as how the Old and New Testaments were developed, how we can know that the Bible is truly from God, who decided what books would be in the Bible, why there's so many translations, and much more. You can read a sample of how we got our Bible and purchase this ebook for under a dollar by going to crossoveroc.com. That's crossoveroc.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble.